Amen. I'm glad no one got snowed in this morning. Amen. How's it good to have Pastor Mark back and Missy? Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for their healing. Amen. Well, I'm excited what the Lord has shared with me to share. I did not realize when the Lord gave me the subject matter that I would be preaching it today. Amen. So I thought it was something, and I even tried to do some other things with it, and the Lord wouldn't let me do it and work out. But Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this day. We praise you. And Father, we thank you for this year going into our 30th anniversary. We give you the praise and honor, and we're looking for, Lord, a year, Lord, of breakthrough and break into the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I've titled this Authenticity. It's Let's Get Real. And this is something the Lord has been laying on my heart. And one of the at times is that I was down, Pastor Karen and I were down in Maryland and ministering down there and also having a wonderful time of fellowship with Pastor Jim. And a dear colleague of ours, a man that I love dearly, asked a question. And both to Jim, Pastor Jim and I. And it was interesting. I gave an answer, but this week I've kind of come up with another reason for his question. And the question was simply this. How did the two of you sustain your walk in the Lord all these years, being pastors? And I said, wow, that was an interesting question. How? Because between Pastor Jim and I, we've got like 100 and some odd years in ministry. I've been a Christian well over 45 years, and he surpasses me, so you can figure the math out, amen? But it was an interesting question, and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, that's a question. How can I help someone else walk the walk and experience what we've experienced and sustain their level of faith and their level of belief? And the Holy Spirit kind of spoke something to me, and I was really excited about it. So I want to respond for this. The reason that we have sustained our walk with the Lord and our beliefs and our faith is that we have allowed authenticity to have center stage in our life. We have allowed authenticity to have a center stage in our life, in everything that we do. Do we always succeed? Hello. Do we always succeed? Everybody. No, there are times, there are moments when things don't go the way you think they ought to go. So I thought that was interesting because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do we work this? And he says, I'm looking for my people to be authentic. So I said, what does this word mean then, Lord? And authenticity, simply defined by Webster's 1828 dictionary, is this. It's defined as a quality of being authentic or an established authority for truth and correctness. Also, Webster kind of gives an additional definition. He says genuineness, the quality of being genuine, not corrupted by the original, from the original. Not corrupted from the original. So being genuine is that we walk and we're not walking away from the original truth. We're walking away from our relationships. Our foundation is something that we sustain. And so being authentic is simply being, you know, authenticity simply means being authentic. It means established authority for truth and correctness. And I think this is something that we all need to strive towards. Amen? There are a couple related words which describes the essence of authenticity. And it's words we all know, but it's words that we've got to re-empower in our lives. And I'm not just talking about when we're in church. I'm talking about the private moments of our own thinking between our relationship with the Lord. Times when our families aren't going the way we think they ought to go. Or times that our jobs might be going away. So a couple of these related words are simply truthfulness, legitimacy, credibility, correctness, vitality, reliability, purity, accuracy, trustworthiness, realness, and dependability. These are all words that if we understand the scripture and what God's called us to do to walk, these are all words that God's looking for. I like to call them the fruit of authenticity, to be truthful, to be credible, amen, to be legitimate, be trustworthy. Be a person of my word. When I grew up, which was a couple of years ago, just so you'll know, I'm how much you know, excited for that. Missy's hit that value mark, birthday mark, amen. Well, I reached it 37 years ago. So it was pretty exciting, amen. Though the actual word authenticity does not appear in Scripture, the meaning and the definition and the quality and the essence of the definition of a word is worked out through the lives of God's believers. And though we don't see that particular word, we see the fruit of it, we see the results of it, we see something that God's looking for in each one of our lives. Can we, in 2020, get real with our walk with the Lord? So that word, even though it doesn't completely, does not show up in Scripture, but the meaning's there, the essence of it is there. And it's simulated into events in people's lives, in God's lives, and the lives of our forefathers. It's part of our, we read our forefathers, we read all those that came before us, and we might not see the word authenticity, but we do see the fruit and the staying power and the keeping power of what it is to be authentic before the living God. Not before, see, this is what we got. We got to stop worrying about being authentic here and start worrying about being authentic with Him. And when we are authentic with Him, we will automatically, by nature, in the Spirit, be authentic with each other. Amen? And so our forefathers demonstrated a commitment of heart to obey and follow the Lord no matter what, because they were authentic. And I want to say to you, every one of their beliefs were tested beyond measure. Was God testing their insides, or really, did they really mean what they said to Him about committing their lives to Him? I mean, I'm thinking, Pastor Mark, of Abraham. Here's a man that God called and said he's going to receive an inheritance, and then sent him out, amen, not knowing where he was going, not taking much with him, got his family, that's it. All right, you go and walk where I tell you to walk, when I tell you to walk, and I want to see just where your heart is. And so Abraham walked out because he had a realism in his life of the reality of who God was. Oh, here's another one, one Pastor Mark's been preaching a lot about. Joseph. How did authenticity work out in his life? Because he had a life of peaches and cream. Amen? He was betrayed. He was rejected. Lived a life of disappointment. Thrown in jail for something he didn't do. Amen? But he never, ever stopped with the realism of who God was in his life that sustained him through all that. And at the very end of his life, what did he say? It wasn't you that did it to me. It was the Lord God. And so there's another example of, oh, I don't see the word authenticity in Joseph's life, but I see the fruit. the results, the essence. Oh, here's another one that this man had. He got promoted by the Lord. His name was Stephen. He was a deacon, preacher, evangelist. Everything was going right, except one day they decided to stone him to death. And in the midst, because you see, our reality of our life is checked not when things are going well, but the real character of this deacon, Stephen, showed up when they were stoning him. And the truth of authenticity came out of his life. He asked for mercy for those who were stoning him. You can find that in Acts 7, 59 through 60. And so you can see, you can understand Joseph's life in Genesis, read the chapters 37 through 45, or even Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, tab 8, Abraham with all the promises, but never really saw the fulfillment of, but it never stopped his authentic serving of who God was. And then my last example is one that we all know well. I don't see authenticity in his name either. But I do know the Apostle Paul walked this earth and had every reason to have this essence of his heart of, is this thing real, God? I mean, how many of us ask that question? Is this really real, God? If anybody who had a right to ask that question, was the Apostle Paul. He also had a very good life. He was beaten, scourged, broken, mocked, put in prison many, many times. But he never wavered because what God put in him was real. What God put in him sustained him, not when things were going all well. In fact, you know, the essence of the Apostle Paul's authenticity is that most of the books of the Bible that he wrote with encouraging and uplifting news and praise to God was written in the dungeons, in prison, in chains. But he penned hope, life, in the midst of his own dungeon. Oh, by the way, just so you'll know, the prisons and dungeons weren't like they were today. They weren't polished floors with televisions. They were sewers. Underground sewers. And so I say this to you now, how did the authenticity and the realness, how do you think it affected their beliefs? Did it diminish these fathers, forefathers? And I'm just talking a small sample. Or did it enhance them? Did the realism who God was through stuff they walked through became more real? Did their belief system become stronger? That was just a simple sample of the heroes of authenticity. Even in this day, the quality and character of authenticity is being worked out all over the world. For China, for example, where you go to church, you could die. If you confess Jesus, you're done. But what this persecution has done is that's increased the authenticness of who God was and is, not diminished it. What about those who walk in the Muslim countries? I don't know if you know it or not, but there's a move of God in the Muslim countries. People are getting saved. But when a Muslim, if you're in that country and you confess Jesus, it's automatic result for you. You're going to see Jesus really soon. And so there's an opportunity all over the world to see the essence of the development of the realism of God incarnate inside of every one of us. I'm reminded for years, been away from it a little bit, but for years we Skyped with a pastor in Kenya, Pastor David. I've shared many photos with many of you. And I think it's a real test of how real we are and how authentic our faith really is, because I said to Pastor David, how's everything going? He said, well, they're doing fine. I said, how's your church doing, your membership, and yada, 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 yada. Simple, typical pastor garbage that we ask each other when we really, you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, Pastor David and I were sharing, and he says, you know, it's hard for us sometimes, Pastor Al, because he looked to me as a father and a Lord, even though we were miles away. We Skyped. I trained his leadership over Skype. And he said to me, he says, the only challenge that maybe a lot of people don't understand, you just see, is when my people leave their home to come to church in a Muslim country, when they say goodbye, and they don't know whether they're coming home or not. They don't know whether they're going to make it to church or make it home without even being captured, killed, or maimed, or something. But yet they still come. Because their adversity of the danger of death hasn't diminished what is real inside of them. It's connected to the reality that God will keep them. Amen? Let me say something to you, church. There are times when the issues of life and the realities of life will expose and reveal just how much authenticity we have and connection in our relationship with God. And I haven't come to bring something heavy, I've come to bring something light to you today. Like, can we get real? When we say something, can we mean it? When I commit something, will I do it? When I tell Jesus I love him Sunday morning, don't know him Monday morning? God's after something. And you might be saying it in your head, I don't know if I like where this message is going. Because I am going to tap into something that God's after in the church, and it's essential for revival. The world and mankind, particularly in America, long to experience authenticity, including reality and truthfulness in every aspect of our life. Never thought I'd believe that the day I turn the news on, I no longer can believe what's said to me, because most of it is false and lies or made up stories so they can get their gig on television. And so there's a longing that's developed over the years. Can you just tell me the truth? There's a dramatic and substantial shift in society that has created a desperate need for authenticity to take root, to stabilize, to solidify life in our culture where it all makes sense, so I can have something I can hang my hat on that's real. I've had a family member even sit there and discuss something, and you tell him the truth, and he says, well, that's not real. You could show him the truth, and he says, that's not real. That's how deceived the hearts of people are. But it should not be in the church. Some of the major challenges that mankind faces today is that authenticity is met with skepticism. If you're being real, someone's going to question you whether you're real or not. Come on. One of the challenges is that if the reality is now shaped by uncertainty, the reality, the new normal, if you heard that one, is now shaped by uncertainty that causes truth to be replaced with opinions. And it causes situational ethics and political correctness to take its force and its place over what reality and truth and what we've all known. What is real? Ask the average young person, what's real? I don't know anymore. I don't know what's real. Ask a Christian. And I'm sorry to say that I'm going to get the same answer from them. And God's after something because, you see, he can't entrust us with a move of God if we don't have the authenticity of his promises in our heart and written, ingrained in our spirits, the word of God that is unalterable. We don't change. We don't do that. I'm not wavering. Church, amen, is to be relevant. What church is doing is they're doing away with what's real. Just so I can be relevant. And so opinion has been it has replaced truth. Situation ethics has replaced our normal traditions. Public and political correctness. And it all is justified, church, by self-centeredness and self-indulgence. I have a right to change all things around if it affects me. No, you don't. I'm sorry. The makeup and design of our society and the structure of culture must have, listen to me please, church, must have at its very core authentic people whose lives are founded and rooted in truth, principles, standards, delivered from a source which is established in God, the Creator, and Jesus Christ. That is the only hope. A reality to return. Amen? And so, God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, we must remember that Jesus Christ always, listen to me, if you want to hang your hat on something, listen to this. Jesus Christ is the same, come on, yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews 3:8. This applies even more so to the church of Jesus Christ. We've got to stop changing the fit culture and be the authentic people of God, full of Holy Ghost, full of the Word, and we stand no matter what comes our way. Because that's what the Apostle Paul did. Well, what if I get thrown in jail? Write an epistle. Amen. For someone to be authentic, one needs to be genuine, credible, trustworthy. I'm repeating and I'm doing it on purpose. Faithful to their beliefs. You must be faithful to your beliefs and you must be steadfast in our convictions. I don't care if people think I'm a liar. If the word says it, I'm standing on it. I don't care if people call me whatever they're calling people or Christians today and right wing and all this stuff and they can label you all you want. I don't care what you call me. I'm standing on the authenticity of the word of God and what God says. And when that man makes and man says, it makes zero difference to me. Being steadfast in our convictions and being confident in the nature, no matter what issue, what situation comes before us. Being confident. God said he's for me. That's it. It's settled. God says greater is him who is in me than he is in the world. That settles it. There is no discussion. I've learned to shut down discussions when someone wants to discuss the validity of the Bible. I'm not interested in talking to you. I'll share the gospel. But I'm not discussing the validity of it. Can I hear it? Why? Because it's the authentic word of God, and I don't have to justify it. I have to live by it. Ooh, I feel the anointing of God here right now. Authenticity is a powerful truth and influence rooted deep and established by a genuine and bona fide source whose origin is supported and qualified and given evidence to. Amen? It is attached to a bona fide source whose origin is supported, approved, authorized by factual evidence and confirmed as true, which stands contrary to everything false, fictitious, counterfeit, and deceptive lies. We have reached a point in our culture today where I'd rather believe a lie than I would the truth. God's after something in the church today. He wants his people to be bona fide, cemented into a source that's supported, approved, authorized, and given factual evidence. I don't know about you, but I don't. I said, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus walked on the earth after he was raised from the dead, and he walked around, and he saw, and he touched, and he ate, and he fellowshiped with his people, and preached, and all that stuff. I don't need to discuss it. It's fact. Well, that's what you believe. No. It's fact. It's the real deal. Because in our culture today, well, you can believe that, but I don't really necessarily believe it, so it doesn't make it true. Wrong. If I'm walking according to the Word of God, it's fact. It's truth. And we can't waver from it anymore. I ain't backing up no more. Not in this culture. Amen? The true source or origin of authority, or authenticity, I should say, that exists in life rests in God the Father who created all things. Everything that is authentic, everything that is real comes from the Father who created all things. Can I hear an amen on that? It also comes from Jesus Christ, who redeemed all things. It comes from the Holy Spirit, amen, who sustains all things. It's the truth of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created us, amen, redeemed us, and now sustains us through truth and through reality and through what is real. The true source and origin of authenticity that exists in the lives rest in God the Father Almighty. You got to get that in your spirit and in Jesus Christ, amen, and in Holy Spirit, who God sent and put us in us. How do I know that I can walk in the spiritual reality and authenticity of God? Because God put the Spirit of truth inside you. He put the Holy Ghost inside you. You don't have to discuss and worry about your brain discussing the reality of God. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has been ingrained into your being. The reality and the actuality and the authenticness of who God is placed inside of us. From the beginning, God invested all that he had. Everything in creation was invested in Jesus Christ. Everything. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, New King James says, by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. For all things created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. My God. We shouldn't even enter our lips of evolution. Because all that is nothing else is that putting a question on what I just read to you. I don't discuss evolution. I preach creation. Why? Because that's fact. Well, what if? I don't go by what ifs. My wife and I, a long time ago, we made a pact. We will not live on if onlys and what ifs. Because they're unknown entities controlled by someone else besides me. I'll let you sit on that. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of Holy Spirit, established Jesus as a cornerstone, Matthew 21:42, and set the truth and establishes the reality and sets all the parameters of authenticity in life. Do you believe that? Why do I say that? Because John 14, 6, New King James Version says, all right, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say this with me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't talk to me about any other way. The fact and the truth is there's only one way. Why? Because God said it in His Word. We've got to start standing on the authority and authenticity of this Word, and we need to put our lives on it and not waver anymore. I'm not worried about being relevant. I'm worried about being right, Pastor Mark. I'm not worried about what people think. I'm worried about being truthful. I'm worried about my witness. I want the Lord to move through me, but I want Him to trust me enough, amen, that He knows that I am authentic in my belief in Him. That's why I went through all the trustings and the testings and all the stuff we all go through. Why? Because why did Paul, we are any different than Paul, Jesus, or any of the disciples? We all go through that because God is testing whether we really are authentically His. And if I waver in my belief because I got a snotty nose, there is a question whether I am authentically sold into Him. Is that too tough? It's truth. Amen. Everybody praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sure there are some people watching on Facebook. Well, I have other beliefs. Well, amen. Come to church, get discipled, and find out that there's only one truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Currently in today's culture, mankind has adopted and embraced other sources created by the God of this age, the spirit of religion, and false teachers. Now, I want to say something to you because a lot of stuff, the spirit of religion, well, I don't know the spirit of religion. If you are still living on your dead religious beliefs, because that's what we used to do 40 years ago, you are caught up in the death of the spirit of religion. Amen? God wants us to move forward. Amen? These are sources. These other sources have given way, I want you to hear this now, to destructive heresies in our country. Destructive heresies. We have people walking around thinking they're God. We have preachers walking around and think that they're the cat's meow of the kingdom. And that's why they're falling by the hundreds and thousands, because God only wants real people preaching the gospel. If you think I'm going to get up here and say I don't ever have problems, though I didn't go through things in life, I mean, you all know, we all have times, essence, okay? We all go through areas, all times that we just want to chuck it, okay? We all go through that. But that's a solic realm responsibility or response, because down core inside of us is an essence of the truth, Holy Spirit, the Spirit that knows darn well you're not giving up. Because God said, I got you. You're an authentic believer of Jesus Christ. Amen? So the authentic force. Well, let me back up a little bit. I'm going ahead of myself. It is the declaration or the deterioration, if you will, of society and the instability of the culture has created a deep longing and craving for, I believe, these four items. And if anything else, if we just went to work and expounded these four items of truth, say truth. It's not open for discussion. It's what the Word says. All right? Are you with me? Amen. And that is, people are the man's souls are starving for this. Reality to overshadow uncertainty. Reality to overshadow it, to take it over, destroy uncertainty. So when you walk your life, you walk as a person. You know who you are, you know where you're going, and you know what you're doing. soul of man is looking out for light to penetrate darkness. In America, if you ask, they can't put it in these words, but there's a longing to see light penetrate the darkness that's invaded our nation. Darkness, evil. The soul of man also is looking for truth to replace the lies. Truth. Can you just tell me the truth? Now I want you to hear this, because it's even in the education system, is that they will even teach your children, if you're going to hurt somebody, it's all right to lie. If you're going to offend somebody, it's all right to lie. To tell, I know they don't say lie. Little white lie. Little fib. Are you with me? How many of us believe I'm going to tell a lie because I don't want to deal with the stuff of the truth? Particularly between husbands and wives. That's why I'm going to shed on the truth. Oh, I'm not a liar, but I'm going to shred on the truth a little bit. I'm going to step under, because I just don't want to address this. God's answer, can I say this to you? I'm going to say it anyways, but God's answer to all those little white lies, little fibs, little stretching of the truth, I don't want to quite give you the truth so you understand what's going on. God's response is simply this. The word says it. That God hates liars. Oh, he's too full of compassion. He'll understand if I don't tell the truth. No, you're deceived. You have fallen into the maze of unauthoritative and authentic walks. Only authenticity rooted in, I want you to hear this because it's important. Only authenticity rooted in immutable source, which is God and his word, can authenticate truth, reality, and influence, which creates a force that can penetrate, change, and affect the prevailing culture and create a shift that brings healing, restoration, wholeness, and peace, not only in culture, but in the body of Christ. Amen? Only can we have this and the reality of it if we're rooted deeply in the immutable source of God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit, and his word. Amen? Authentic force. Amen? Becomes believer. An authentic force is believers of Jesus Christ that will penetrate culture, society, everywhere we go. If we get this authenticity inside of us, I don't care where you go, you will penetrate darkness, cut out the light. You will be an essence of an instrument in God's hands. And you'll stop worrying about whether you're qualified or not. Amen? I went through that route many years. You got to hear me. The authentic force is believers who have been redeemed by the blood, Ephesians 1:7, go check it out, adopted as the sons of God, Galatians 4:5, amen, empowered by Holy Spirit and called and commissioned by God to bring authenticity, reality, and truthfulness in the world, its society and culture. I want to just ask you one question. Can I go out and bring authenticity and being an authentic person, a real person, if I haven't even been real to myself. Or to my family. First Samaria, then Jerusalem, then the other parts of the world. You see, God's after something, church. There are many people who desire and attempt and work hard at it to live an authentic life. And some of the frustrations we as pastors deal with is that they are really trying to live that authentic life and fall and fail, and they feel like a failure because they are losing something that the church has put in them when you fail instead of what God's put in them. If you fail, come to me, confess your sin, and he'll restore you. Well, I got to start all over again. No, you don't. That's what the church has taught you. That's what the spirit of religion has taught you. You failed. You didn't make it messed up. You're unqualified. You can't do. Who says that except people? But I'm sorry, church. The authentic word of God does not say that. In fact, if you know of a brother that's fallen in sin and living a world, amen, that's just in darkness, amen, go get them. And bring them back and restore them in authenticity of love and compassion and redemption. Healing and set free and deliverance. Restore them in that. Don't get down there and knock them out. Well, now, brother, because you fell, you got to wait 3 years before you can be in ministry. How ridiculous. So there are many people who want to live an authentic life, however, without a relationship. Won't you hear me now? Because going to church is not relationship, even though you should be in church. I want you to hear me because there's an authenticness of a relationship with God that's fallen by the wayside. If I go to church and praise the Lord and listen to Christian music, I have fellowship. No, you don't. You're feeding your own spirit and your soul. It has nothing to do. Amen. Are you with me? Now, it's all good to do all that stuff. Listen to me, please. But that, without communication face to face with the master, is not relationship. See, I walk in experienced authenticity because I have looked him in the face. And I know his penetrating eyes, and I know he sees that I'm just a filthy as rags. But he says, I put the spirit of truth inside of you. Now you get up and clean yourself up because I redeemed you by my blood, and I empowered you by Holy Spirit. Rise up, son. Be the man of God that I've called you to be. Stop wallowing in what everybody else thinks. And walk in reality of the authenticity of your salvation, of your baptism, and walk in the reality of your Holy Ghost filling tongue, talk, and fire baptism. So it's time. The time is right. The season has arrived to get real. To get real. Start telling the truth. Be honest with each other. Now, I'm not saying shout it until the growl stop, but if you need help, my God, go to the man of God and say, this is, how many, we've had pretty frank conversations, haven't we? I don't think we hold anything back. He knows more about me than just about my pastor, and I know about him. And so when he comes and says, I did this and I did that, it's just, we know each other. But we know the authenticity of the Word of God inside of us, and we know that it's just our flesh working out things, amen? But the solitude of the Spirit of God sitting in our hearts and our spirits is God is right. God is right by the nape of the neck and saying, I got you. A lot of the people that espound this, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. I hear that more times. Never leave you, forsake you. Is that reality? and truth in your life. Because if it is, you won't have to keep repeating it. See, a lot of things in Christendom we say is to convince ourselves that we're real instead of just accepting that we are real from God. You don't need to be convinced to be real. You are. How many of you are saved? Don't raise your hands. That's all right. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? You got the Spirit. You are the real McCoy. Stop walking around like you're dysfunctional and you can't get out of your own way as a believer. And I don't know what I'm going to do because I have this problem. I have this habit. Just forget your habit and start becoming the authentic person of God that He's called you to be. And then I tell you, when you do that, all the stuff that you wrestle with, you will just be amazed how it falls to the ground. All those chains that are broken, they just fall to the ground. They have no more hold on my life because I'm an authentic child of God with an authentic spirit inside me. Good thing no one's sitting there. I just sprayed them. So the right time is now, allowing Holy Spirit, I want you to hear me, to work in each life from the inside out to mold and shape you and whoever else into being an authentic believer. Are you hearing me? Who make up an authentic body, the local church, and be released into society as a bold representative and effective witness. You see, if authenticity rules in your life, questions will not faze you. People coming against you will not. You stop backing up. Well, you believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in Jesus, so that doesn't make it true. Well, you're wrong and I'm right. Well, no, you're arrogant. No, I'm right. Well, no, you're just trying to put your beliefs. No, I'm not trying to put my beliefs to you. I'm right. Now, I heard something when Miles Monroe preached one time. It's pretty awesome. Okay? I don't know if your mom, Miles, he's home with the Lord now, but what a preacher. And he says, God did not come to bring religion. God did not come to bring blessing. He came to bring the kingdom of God and its authority and its authenticity on the earth. That's why he came. He did not really come to bless our little socks off. Even though he will. God is good. Which will us ask ourselves a question? The same question that I proposed, amen, in the beginning with the apostle. It's a question I think we need to continually put in our lives. And that question would be, as soon as I get it here, how authentic and how real do you think you are in your circumstances when your belief is challenged? How real? When you go through the tests and trials and tribulations, how real is the authenticity and the realness of your belief? When we go through terrible times, has anybody ever been through a terrible time? Anybody ever had a habit? Anybody ever had circumstance that just rips at your guts? How has authenticity and realness fared in your belief system and the level of your faith? I'm here to tell you that it can never be measured by what's happening to you. It can only be measured by our relationship with God and what I know I am inside. Why isn't the world running to the church? Because they're looking for something authentic. It's a problem when people of the world or nominal Christians that just are trying to find something in faith come to church and see people worshiping Lord, speaking spiritual language, and then read the content of their life on Facebook and find out that there's not a word of authenticity that I saw in that service. There's nothing real that I saw in that service, because when they got home, I saw something different. How many husbands and wives praise God next to each other and go home and desire with that reality, please be in my home? I know I'm digging deep, but you need to understand something. I'm not hitting no more walls when it comes to breakthrough. I hit enough of them in my life. And I said, Lord, something's going on here, and I want to know what it is. And that's when he said to me, authenticity. You want breakthrough? You got to move forward. This can be accomplished when one puts Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:27, on, totally put Christ on, and takes upon themselves the characteristics of an authentic believer. In closing, I want to name just a few of these authentic characteristics. An authentic believer says what he means. Excuse me, I want to back that up. Means what he says, and says what he means. That the words are not fuzzy yes and no. Yes, Pastor, I'll help you. And inside, though, there's a no ringing louder than my yes. The apostles dealt with that. Jesus dealt with that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. Say what you mean and mean what you say. If you tell someone, and we're all guilty of this, if you tell someone I'm going to pray for you, my God, pray for them. Be an authentic Christian. Stop lying. Because if I tell my dear brother, I'm going to pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you, but inside there's a fuzzy no, because I got an agenda in my life, and if I don't even think about you for the next week, I've lied to you. It's time to get real. It's time for the body of Christ to start being the body of Christ. It's time when someone walks into a church service, they experience the authenticity of the spirituality of born-again, spirit-filled Christians that mean what they say, amen, and walk that walk. Characteristic of an authentic Christian is one that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Matthew 10:32. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about in the world and wherever we go. We're so afraid to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've had athletes lose their career because they give glory to Jesus. What's a messed up with that with this nation? I'm not going down. Let's keep it out of there. Authentic Christians have the characteristic that they walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8. You walk in the light, you don't walk in darkness. You don't worship God in light and go home and turn on the darkness. Well, you don't understand my habit. No, God understands. Give it to him. Authentic Christian obeys the commands of Jesus. In 1 John 5:3, authentic Christian submits to God's word. This thing means something to us. Well, I don't have time. Then I don't. Oh, boy, I'm going to get into trouble because I got to say this to you. If you don't have time to get in this, I question your authenticity. Because you'll make time to get in this. Are you with me? Pastor Mark's preaching next week. Amen. Authentic Christian walks in the Spirit. I don't apologize for speaking in tongues. I don't apologize for things of the Spirit. I'm not even going to justify it. I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. Suck it up and live it. Amen? Come on, church. Let's get real. Stop walking around the edges. Yeah, are you Spirit-filled? Absolutely. Do you speak in... Absolutely. Do you believe in healing? Yes. Authentic dealing. Authentic Christians hear the voice of Holy Spirit, Revelation 2:17. Authentic Christians enjoy the fellowship with other believers, 1 John 1:7. Authentic Christians come to church to enjoy fellowship with one another. Well, I don't like them. Stop it. Because if you can't get over and forgive someone, I question, can I say it, your authenticity. If I have aught against my brother and sister and refuse to face that situation, which is destroying the body of Christ, my life, and my family, because I have aught against, oh, you don't, just having aught wouldn't affect my whole spiritual life, then I question whether you understand the authenticity of God's word when he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, hey, church, you're not forgiven. Oh, no, no, let's soften that up a little bit, Pastor Al, because we can't bruise anybody. I know a bruised reed that died for me. His name was Jesus Christ. Authentic Christian seeks first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Authentic Christians love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Matthew 22:37. Well, church, what the world needs now, you know that's what the world needs now, and what the church, more than any time I've ever seen it, needs now, what we need, is we now need the revealing of the manifest sons of God, Romans 8:19, who are the ones who live, walk, and have the authentic God as our standard. Let's get real. I want to say this to you because I've been in this thing for a long time. I've seen commitments of people that have no intention of fulfilling their commitment. None. Zero. I've been in this thing for a long time. And it will try your heart. But no matter what happens to you as you walk through your walk, no matter what comes your way, be an authentic disciple and believer of Jesus Christ. Don't waver. Stand. Don't bow to anything else except the Lord. And rely on nothing except the word of God in his voice. Pastor Mark.